from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albracht and Tommy Kester.
All right, welcome in, everybody, to a Tuesday edition of Sports Daily. Jacob Albracht, Tommy Kester here. Glad to be with you on this Tuesday of my wife's birthday. Happy birthday to my wife. It's a big one today, and I hope everybody that knows her out there will let her know about it. I call her my birthday princess. She really likes them, so if you know her, send her a nice message.
29 years old today?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. 30-10, but it's a big one. It's a big one. 869-1240 is the IHOP hotline. It's open for you today. Jad Chambers is manning that thing for you. And by the way, IHOP excited to bring back its all-you-can-eat pancakes deal through September 15th. We got a fun show for you today as we continue to watch the trade deadline in Major League Baseball down to the second. A couple of misses again for Kansas City yesterday after they add a nice piece as well. So we'll get you all caught up there. An exciting game last night as Bobby Witt Jr. is taking over Major League Baseball. All things Royals coming today. I will catch you up on any Olympics that might have interested us last night. And, you know, we got that. We got Chiefs camp. Chiefs camp. We'll have some Mitch Holthus audio for you a little later in the show as well. It's a great show for you today. We'll give away some HTO, iced tea, and free rain coffee to one lucky winner a little later in the program as well. It's all out there for us. You can leave us your comments as well. You can call in, of course, if you're listening to us on KFH. You can also leave us your comments on our stream on X, on YouTube, or on Facebook. We'll get those out on the air. And, of course, hello and thank you to those watching us on 12 News Connected. That's how you can watch the show. You can go back and listen to it on the Odyssey app. All kinds of great ways to take it in. We appreciate you being here with us. Tommy, you know, the Royals last night, it was a strange day for Kansas City yesterday as we see two players traded that we had hoped Kansas City might be in on, both Tommy Pham and Lane Thomas, now both off the market. Thomas to the rival Guardians, which makes it sting a little extra, and Pham to the Cardinals, which perhaps makes it sting a little extra. Tommy Pham is indeed traded for the third straight trade deadline, and he goes to the Cardinals. So the Royals now back to sort of square one as we think about a leadoff hitter. They do add to the pitching staff yesterday, if you missed it, Michael Lorenzen, which is great timing, and we'll get into some of the injury stuff as well today. But that was a needed win against a bad team, and it almost, like, it was almost going to be a pretty dreadful Royals-type show today with those two misses at the deadline and a loss to the White Sox. But in steps Bobby Witt Jr. just saved the day, and he is just sort of taking things over here.
I mean, if the season ended today, I mean, that guy should be the American League MVP, in my opinion. I know that Aaron Judge is going to get a lot of credit, you know, and they're going to probably...
It's close.
Yeah, because he's in the large market, and everybody's going to give him all the accolades because of all the home runs he hits. Bobby Witt Jr. Is, I think, the best all-around player, probably not only in the American League, but probably in Major League Baseball right now. He's definitely the hottest hitter in Major League Baseball after the All-Star break. There's no doubt about that. I read a ridiculous stat, and there are a bunch of them out there, about Bobby Witt Jr. since the All-Star break, that he's got more extra base hits than he does swings and misses after the All-Star break so far, which is just incredible. That's just a wild statistic to think about. But yeah, it was his heroics. It was the grand slam in the eighth inning that put the Royals on top and gave them the lead, and ultimately the win. So it wouldn't be anybody else. I mean, I know that Salvador Perez is clutch and has been the face of the franchise for a long time, deservedly so. Bobby Witt Jr. is the catalyst. He's the guy that now is getting the Royals to victory, and he did it last night against Chicago.
It was, as to Salvador Perez, he's really sort of stepped back this year and let everybody embrace Bobby Witt Jr., which is great. And we've talked about this. It's been a while, so we can bring it back up. Like, there's a chance. There is a chance you're seeing two of the three greatest Royals of all time on this team this year. I think that's a pretty good probability, in fact. You know, Bobby Witt Jr. may end up being the best of all of them. Salvador Perez, unlikely, I would say, to surpass George Brett, but he's right there. And so we're getting both of the, that adds to the urgency for me that we've talked about so many times on why they should be aggressive this year, is because, I mean, how many organizations can say that, right? How many organizations throughout their history could say two of their three best players ever are playing at one time? And it doesn't always lead to success. I mean, I think the Angels probably had a case at that when they had Shohei and Trout playing, but it doesn't happen very often. And so that just adds to how special this could be if they could figure out a way to get into the postseason, and if they can figure out a way to, you know, to parlay that into a little bit of sustained success here. But the Royals got him locked up, and he's rewarding them. And I think the reason Bobby Witt Jr. is so much fun is that he is one of these young players who is having so much fun, and it bleeds out everywhere, right? Like, it's, yeah, he's got the humility and he's got all of those things, but when players genuinely, and you can see that they're enjoying it so much, it does make a difference. Why Adrian Beltre became my favorite player is because he just enjoyed it so much. Why Salvador Perez is on a very short list of my favorite players ever is because he has so much fun doing it. Bobby Witt Jr. does too, and that adds to it. It's why we love Patrick Mahomes, right? It's why we love Travis Kelce. It was watching those guys because they enjoy themselves, and Bobby Witt Jr. is enjoying it, all of it. You know, the home run derby sort of, I think, opened everybody up, but this stretch after the All-Star break is absolutely absurd, and it's been fun to watch. And quite frankly, they've had to have it because outside of that, it has been a little rockier. You know, last night they get Alec Marsh out there. Marsh was not bad, not great. I think you think he feels any pressure with Lorenzen there? I think he probably should. I don't know that he will now that we learned John Schreiber goes on the injury list yesterday, and we still don't know about Hunter Harvey. MacArthur got out there, and we'll get to that. But they need Lorenzen probably in the bullpen, so maybe it's safe for Marsh. But Marsh wasn't elite or anything like that. 4 2/3, 2 runs. I think it actually lowered his ERA. He probably feels pressure a little bit, and he should. That's a good thing. It's not a bad thing.
Yeah, and I think the best thing that the Royals can do with Michael Lorenzen is, I mean, he's versatile enough and he's been around long enough that he can fill a variety of different roles. And I don't know if this is the conversation that Matt Quatrero has had with Michael Lorenzen, but basically, look, we might need you to go out and start a game as a spot starter. We might need you to be a long reliever. We might need you to come in and pitch a seventh inning. We just don't know. So be ready for basically any situation that we're going to call you in. And that's part of the reason I think why Lorenzen is valuable. You know, it was right before he was traded. The Rangers did this for him, where to him, where he started a game. I think he didn't get out of what, the first inning?
He didn't. Yeah.
And then the very next game he came in and he pitched four innings.
Yeah. Two days later. He doesn't care. He's a great Swiss Army knife for this. It's such a good trade. And that's good too. And that's probably where we need to start with the conversation. We get into last night's game and Bobby Witt Jr. as we make our way through, but we've got a trade deadline here. And yesterday you get Lorenzen, another really sound move, I think, for this team. But then we also see two guys go elsewhere that stings, I think, particularly bad. And the trade deadline's at 5 o'clock today. But to watch Pham especially go somewhere else. Lane Thomas was sort of a pipe dream player. The Guardians end up getting him. And I don't know. I haven't looked at the return, but I'm going to guess they probably gave up something that the Royals couldn't match. Tommy Pham, he was kind of the guy and they couldn't get it done. So now where do you go? I think there are still players out there that certainly are upgrades. It's less about that, though, to me, than can they find a leadoff hitter? That's the part that gets a little bit tricky. Yeah, you can find somebody that upgrades the outfield. Although, you know, Renfro continues to be good. Melendez had a big hit last night. So maybe it's just going to be through attrition they aren't able to bring anybody in. It's the leadoff hitter thing that bugs me the most. It's not even, you know, replacement value at this point, because anybody over the course of the season would be, an increase in replacement value. It's can you find somebody that can lead off for you? And that's been the biggest challenge. It's not even about these other guys heating up. I mean, you're not going to lead off Melendez. You know, maybe there's a world where Renfro could do it, but they kind of need him in the middle of the lineup right now. Freddie Fermin continues to get hits, but they go another game, Tommy, with no hits from the leadoff spot. And I don't know how many. I would love to, and I don't have the time for it. I would love to go back in the last just 20 games and see how many times the leadoff hitter was over at the plate. Because I'll bet it's more than half the time. Easily.
I mean, I think you can look at the entire season. I don't have the stats on this, but the entire season. What's the overall OPS from the leadoff position? Doesn't matter who's been in that role. I would love to know what the slash lines are for the variety of different players that the Royals have trotted out to lead off. Because it seems like it's almost an automatic out almost every single game from whoever's been at that place.
And then in steps Bobby Witt Jr. on fire. That's what's so frustrating, right? Like, they cannot set the table for him. That's where they have to attack this deadline. They just have to. You got to be better than what they've had there, which is almost non-existent. And I'll give Quatrero this. He's trying a lot of different things now. He's trying Massey at the top, which I would say Massey or Fermin would be my preference at this point at the top. But even then, it's not ideal. And so you just like what is out there for them to do that? Some of these A's players. Now you're getting down to the A's, and I don't even know if any of those guys profile as leadoff guys. That's what I mean. There are bats out there that probably upgrade offensively what you've got. But both of the players you would have to replace are likely Melendez and Renfro, and they're both heating up. Okay. So like, okay, how much are you really upgrading those guys by going to get one of these A's players? I'm not sure. It's really about that leadoff hitter. Like that's the spot. And I'll tell you this too. I almost think the bullpen needs to be a bigger priority right now. So as we get to the trade deadline today, as much as it's frustrating at the top of the lineup, I'm pretty concerned about the bullpen. And there's a lot that's happened in the last, I don't know, 48, 72 hours to add to that. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back to that, because even yesterday, Tommy, it was like, oh, maybe, I don't know if that's overtaken leadoff, but now with the series of events on Monday, I might have changed my mind on that. I might like these last few hours before the trade deadline to focus on the bullpen, and you just have to deal with that leadoff spot. We'll take a quick break. 869-1240 is that IHOP hotline. We'll see if Tommy agrees. You can leave us your video comments, lots of different ways to take in the program today. We're happy you're here with us. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back more Sports Daily right after this.
...97.5 and 1240 KFH.
Welcome back in, everybody. Sports Daily here on KFH. Jacob Albrock, Tommy Caster alongside you. Talking a little Royals here. We'll get some Chiefs audio from Mitch Holthus, voice of the Chiefs, coming up a little bit later in this hour. Lots of stuff still to come for you on this Tuesday. Just getting going. Royals had an interesting day yesterday. You get the Lorenzen news early. In fact, while we were on the air, that's great news. We love that addition. Then you see two players we thought might profile as leadoff hitters for this team get traded to other teams. One of them to, well, really, we could say both to rival teams. So that stings a little bit. We get the news that Schreiber's headed to the IL. We still don't know on Hunter Harvey. Then the game happens yesterday, Tommy. And while there are fireworks in the game that we will celebrate in due time on the program today with Bobby Witt Jr., the bullpen was not good yesterday. Zerpa and Stratton both gave up runs, which you don't like to see, especially Zerpa, who was not good at all. He was kind of the guy I thought maybe they'd lean into. Stratton is fine, but he's certainly not a door closer. Will Smith was good. I mean, who knows? And MacArthur came in, and while, yes, he had a clean inning, it was because of two great plays by Bobby Witt Jr. And maybe that gets him back on track, but, man, that could have easily been a couple hits. And so all of those things combined, I think, has shifted me today in the final hours before the trade deadline to say, you know what, if there are bullpen reinforcements out there and the Royals could only pick one, I might lean back into bullpen reinforcements. There are just too many unknowns right now with that group, especially. I think they may need to attack bullpen again and just deal with leadoff hitter as they go.
You know, unless they get a top-of-the-line reliever like a Tanner Scott, and I think that's unlikely, I'm not sure I agree with you. I think that they still need to focus on the top of the lineup. I think that's got to be the direction that they go. Now, I know that supply and demand comes into play, and the supply of leadoff center fielders has probably dwindled between a couple of days ago to now. So that may play a role in the direction the Royals go, and that may pivot them to looking more at bullpen reinforcements. Jim Bowden yesterday had a report that the Royals were one of four teams that were linked to Tanner Scott. But those four other teams, you know, are teams that are probably going to outbid them. We have not heard anything else about that particular situation. You know, you're talking the Dodgers, the Red Sox, and I think the Phillies were the other team that were, or Yankees, I think, were the other team that were
those
involved.
Those are teams, now those, I will say, those are teams that have made other moves.
Yes.
You know, so their
but they've
MO
also got
is
unlimited budgets, it seems like, to be able to make moves like that for high-profile players.
Well, they have farm systems. I think the Royals will pay. I think John Sherman's ready to pay. I think we're seeing that enough where it becomes, it almost, like, if it's just down to prospect loads. Now, some of those systems are light years ahead of the Royals, right? But maybe the other moves that they've been making allow the Royals to pool all their resources that they were hoping to use in other trades and just say, let's go get this one done. And I think that's where, like, I don't know what the likelihood is the Royals can make two moves today. It's hard because at some point, like, there are veterans that you just kind of get for a cup of coffee, right? When it's just cash involved and they haven't gone anywhere and teams are like, well, what the hell? We don't want to pay these guys the rest of the year. And so that may still present itself. But as far as like top line, big name acquisitions, I really do. Like, let's say it's Scott. Let's just take him as an example. And you could take everything you were maybe trying to use for Pham and Lane Thomas and all these other players, and you said, you know what, let's just go get this guy. If you get a guy that you could literally slot in at the end of a game, I think that that helps MacArthur a great deal because it takes the pressure off him. It allows you to be more flexible with Lorenzen, and it allows, you know, guys like Zerpa to sort of stay in their wheelhouse where they've been. It allows you to get Harvey back, and who knows where he ultimately settles in. You know, Schreiber's got to come back. They've got these players there, but, man, I don't see any of them in a playoff game, in the ninth inning, or in the eighth inning coming in to put out a fire or close down a game. I wouldn't be comfortable with anybody that's on the roster right now doing that. So if that guy is out there and they're able to get them, I think it has shifted because for a long time for me, it was now go and get the leadoff hitter because you can make it work in the bullpen. I just don't know that the leadoff hitter's there anymore. I think they're all gone of guys that'll be available. And you never know. We could be surprised, but I think they're gone.
I mean, the one name from an outfield position that I know has been linked to the Royals that is still out there and available is Taylor Ward from the Angels. He's not been particularly good. His OPS is slightly over .300. And so that's not anything amazing. I mean, you know, he's batting .221 right now.
He got off to a really hot start, and then he hasn't been good.
He's cooled off a lot. His OBP is .309. His OPS is .710. Now, I would imagine that's an improvement over what the Royals have put out there at the leadoff position so far this season, but it's not a significant upgrade. That's the main guy, unless I'm missing somebody, that really the Royals have been linked to.
You've got to be careful with him, because in the situation of him, and I only know this because of fantasy baseball, not because I watch a lot of Taylor Ward. He was white hot. He does this. He's done this now for 2 or 3 years. He comes screaming out of the gates to start a year, and then he falls off a cliff. Whereas the options he could potentially replace have done the opposite for the Royals. They came out stumbling and have settled in nicely. So is he an upgrade? I don't know if he is an upgrade at this point.
Well, and the other thing about the bullpen, my other point on that is that I do think that this has been a bullpen all season long. I know MacArthur kind of slotted in to the quote-unquote closer role, but all season long, for the most part, it's been a bullpen by committee. It's been based on the situation. It's been based on who Cutrero thinks is the best match and the best fit for situational baseball. In a lot of cases, it's worked out decently well for the Royals, despite their shortcomings in the bullpen. I think I can count on one hand the number of times that I've been critical of the way that Matt Cutrero has managed the bullpen. Sure, you would like more talented players in that bullpen. You would like more reliable pitchers in that bullpen. There's no doubt about that. But I've got confidence in Cutrero that even if the Royals don't make any other additions to the bullpen, they don't make any changes to the way that bullpen is set up, that Cutrero can still manage that bullpen and get the most out of them. He's probably pushed the right buttons and had that bullpen overachieve even thus far this season. And I think that he could probably continue to do that. Is that the ideal outcome for the trade deadline? No, probably not. I think you'd still like to have bullpen reinforcements. But I do think that even if the trade deadline comes and goes, the bullpen, the way that it's assembled right now, while not ideal, I think Cutrero can still press the right buttons and get more out of them than probably what they could have gotten with any other manager.
I think I probably agree with that. Maybe they should give Brett Phillips a call, because he's apparently throwing gas at 97 miles per hour right now at the NBC World Series, trying to reinvent himself as a relief pitcher. This is a real story that I didn't see until late last night. Brett Phillips, former Royal, is playing at the NBC World Series right now, pumping 97 mile per hour gas. This is a clip that's gone sort of viral overnight in the baseball world. So maybe they just give him a call. Maybe that would be the way to go. But in case you missed that story, as I did, I didn't see that story, but it's out there, which is just awesome. All right. We're going to shift gears a little bit. So we're going to keep talking baseball. Tommy's got to step out for just a minute. We've got Mitch Holthus audio coming up from Chiefs camp that I want to get to. He is reporting in. Jad's got some of that for us. So looking forward to that. Talking a little bit about Patrick Mahomes. We get camp yesterday. Sort of some news from camp yesterday. It's hot as hell up in St. Joe, just like it is here. So we have that to get to as well as we wrap up hour number one. We'll get to a giveaway. All kinds of fun stuff coming for you in the next little bit on Sports Daily. We'll get to Bobby Witt Jr.'s heroics last night, too, and look ahead to tonight's game against the White Sox. Don't take anything for granted. This is the thing. When a team has lost that many games in a row, there's a law of averages in play at some point, I think. So, they ought to beat up on the White Sox, but okay, the White Sox lose every game they play? Maybe. They're pretty bad. And then we'll look at the latest on the trade deadline, see if there's anything out there linked to the Royals. It's all coming for you at Sports Daily. All Brockton Caster, don't go away. We're coming right back. All right. welcome back in, everybody. Sports Daily here on KFH. Jacob Albrock with you. Tommy Castro will rejoin us here in just a bit. I'm looking here, our pal Brandon Zinner over from 12 News. By the way, shout out to those of you watching us on 12 News Connected. We got Jalen Daniels back on the practice field. Three games last year. He said at Big 12 Media Days he was fully healthy. Brandon's got video of him out on his Twitter or his X right now, at KWCH Brandon. And you can see Daniels. He looks like he's in great spirits. You know he was ready for this day. Looks good. Looks big. He looks strong. He looks like he's added a little muscle to me. But Brandon Zinner is there. I'm going to see if we can't get him to call in. They're in the middle of practice right now. So we'll try to get him on here in just a second. Jad, do you have Brandon's number? We'll just do this live here.
Yeah, I'll give him a call.
Jad's going to call Brandon real quick because I want to get that Jalen Daniels update. While we do that, Jad, let's for just a second here, you've got some audio from Mitch Holthus this morning. So let's play this Mitch audio and give Jad a chance to call Brandon here. And then we'll try to get you that update on Jalen Daniels. We're kind of on the fly because this is just coming down from Lawrence. So here's Mitch Holthus yesterday. Asked him about Patrick Mahomes in that leadership and culture being created for this season. Here's what Mitch had to say.
I think that's just being a competitor. I think that's the culture that Coach Reed has kind of built here in Kansas City is every single time you're trying to get better when you're on that football field or in the meeting room or wherever that is. And we have a lot of competitors on this team and practices get fiery. I think that's what makes us so special as a football team.
What are you seeing from like guys integrating into the system? Hollywood, looking at Wiley at tight end. Your thoughts on those new guys?
Well, they've had a great camp. I mean, I think they've done a great job of just continuing to push and get better and better and making plays whenever the plays are there. And then whenever there is a mistake, they learn from it and they ask the right questions. And that's what you want in order to have a great team is people that want to continue to get better and better.
Guys, Lamar Jackson of the Ravens took days off OTAs. Aaron Rodgers of the Jets missed mandatory minicamp because he went to Spain. Patrick Mahomes is the alter ego of Andy Reid. If Andy Reid wasn't coaching this team, Patrick Mahomes would be. And he approaches every day like it. It's one of the biggest ingredients of secret sauce of winning these Super Bowl championships that goes beyond the stats.
And I assume with him being that type of personality that just trickles down and emanates the entire roster wanting to measure up to that expectation.
As they would say in the Smith Center, Legion Hall, bingo.
Bingo. Love that. That's great. That's good. That's really good stuff. Okay. So we're going to get into that leadership there from Mahomes from camp. I mean, that doesn't surprise anybody. I'm telling you, it feels like there is motivation there. And I think the motivation is just the way that last year played out in the regular season. I don't think Mahomes wants anything to do with any of that at all. All right, Jad, do we have Brandon now?
Yes, we do. We got him.
So here's Brandon Zinner. Brandon sent me this video. 12 News sports anchor. Brandon, welcome into Sports Daily. Thanks for hopping in on literally no notice at all. You sent me that. And it's my number one question, maybe of the college football season. Jalen Daniels, is he back or is he back? Is he all the way back? How did his back look today, the first time we've been able to see him out on the field?
Yeah, so we were out there. First of all, thanks for having me, Jacob. We were out there for about 20, 30 minutes just watching the team, first day of fall practice, going through the motions. Obviously, we're not going to be out there for when they're doing 7-on-7, 11-on-11, those kind of things. But we were out there for their stretching, running around, just kind of doing their simple drills. And Jalen, he's running around. He's excited. He has a lot of energy. He's dancing to the music. I will caution and say that this is the exact same thing I said last year on day one of fall camp. He looked the exact same coming off the summer back injuries. So he looks healthy. He told me at Big 12 Media Days he is fully healthy. He doesn't expect any limitations. But I guess only time is going to tell with this thing.
Look, it does matter. I think it matters. And even as much, like, it's a back injury. So, you know, 11-on-11 is going to tell us something. But he looks in the video. I'm watching the video you posted on X. He looks bigger to me. He looks like he's added muscle, which would tell me his back feels pretty good. If he's able to add muscle, I would say, am I seeing that correctly in the video there? It looks like he's added a little weight, and that's probably a good thing for him.
Yeah, no, I thought the exact same thing because, well, whenever we talk to him at Big 12 Media Days, obviously he's wearing a suit. It's hard to tell kind of how someone's frame is, but he definitely does look like he's put on some good weight, not necessarily bad weight. Yeah, he looks stronger. He looks healthy. He looks like he has been really getting after it since he posted that video in November saying that he was coming back to Kansas and then and chasing this high, this season that they all dreamed of him having personally last year. He looks good, but again, only time is going to tell, and we won't really know until the end of next month or early September when they teed up for the first time. We will see if maybe they decide to limit him as these days go along. Maybe he'll get some days off, maybe he'll get some half days off. But we know how it is with injury reporting in college; that can be very very sketchy and very limited. We'll just kind of see what happens as time goes along.
And that's what I was going to ask you, Brandon. Brandon Zinner up in Lawrence right now with a little time from KU camp opening up today. That was sort of where I was at. You know, we can see him out there. That's one thing. But where have we ever at any point in this entire process had any legitimate explanation of what exactly was wrong last year?
That's a good question. I think all they've ever really said about it is he had the back injury, whatever that back injury is,
right.
Is kind of up in the question that it happened last summer camp at some point. He was limited, if I remember right, a little bit throughout last fall. I think he had that and maybe a shoulder injury as well. And then I think it was that first game of the season, it flared up in warm-ups. And then I think it was down in Texas, the whole debacle where he was out there, he was warming up, and then literally as the game is kicking off, Jason Bean gets told that he's going to go, he's going to be the starter that day. So I don't know if we've ever got a full explanation. I don't know if we will. It's something that Lance has been asked of, and they've just kind of beat around the bush. Yeah, it's a back. We're monitoring it. But, just a whole weird situation here.
Yeah, Ken on one of our video streams has a question and asks, the worry is when do you ever see a back problem go away fully? And I think that's a fair question. We've sort of bantied that about a bit here on the show. Like, it's unfair to bake that into the KU expectations because, you know, anybody can get hurt at any point, but I don't think it's unfair. I think looking at Daniels and the likelihood that he misses time is a very realistic thing to think about with KU this year and their chances. And like, can they win games without him? Certainly they did last year, but yeah, it's a back. What makes us think that it ever will fully get better?
Yeah. And that's all you have to do is you have to put your faith and trust. If you're a KU fan, if you're Jalen Daniels, if you're Lance Leipold, into the sports medicine staff that they have here at KU, they're going to do everything possible. And they have done everything possible, as far as we can tell, over the last year to make sure that he's healthy, he is ready to go. And then just going forward, they're going to manage it as best as they can, whether it's still an issue. They say it's not. But obviously they're going to be monitoring him. They're going to be asking probably on the daily, maybe multiple times a day, how are you feeling today? And back injuries, they can be tricky because there's just so much that goes into that. Is it back muscle? Is it a vertebrae? We don't know even what it is to be able to ask the right questions, but just gotta hope that their sports medicine team is taking care of them, and I'm sure they are.
Brandon Zinner, 12 News, reporting from Lawrence right now. You'll see all his reporting tonight on 12 News. Lots of good stuff coming. I mean, that's the thing. KU could be totally honest and say he feels great because he probably does feel great, but it's back and it could pop up at any point. So then for me, it's less about that. And I don't even like, it's okay to think about that stuff. It's more about, is Cole Ballard ready I would call it the likelihood that he has to play this year. Maybe that's too aggressive for some people, but I would call it a likelihood. Is he ready for that? Because I saw with him last year as a true passer, I think I saw more upside even than Jason Bean. Now, Jason Bean was a baller and all of those things, but I think Ballard, as just a passer, has a chance to be better. Can he be this quickly? I don't know. But they certainly have plenty of weapons around him to help him be better if he has to step in this year.
Yeah, I mean, we saw Cole come in, and Cole honestly competed very valiantly whenever he was called upon last year. He played that entire Sunflower Showdown where KU just narrowly lost. to K-State. And then he came in another game that I was at home. I believe it was the BYU game whenever Jason Bean had got injured and Cole played the majority of that. I think that this team, Lance Leipold, he said at Big 12 Media Days, he's never seen a freshman quarterback come into a situation and win over a locker room from the jump, even before he was called upon like Cole Ballard has. And I think that they're confident if Cole Ballard is called upon. And then they also, KU does have a freshman that they really like going forward, Isaiah Marshall, who comes out of Michigan. He's a top 30 quarterback in the country, three-star guy. They really like his potential going forward. So I think KU feels healthy where they're at, or feels good where they're at, if and probably when Jalen does miss time, just because playing that style of quarterback, it's tough when you're playing the best of the best. They hope he's healthy all year long, but you can't bank on that.
Well, and I think it's okay that they can't, because they showed you last year they can win despite it. And they'll certainly, almost certainly have him more this year than they did last year. The other question, so he and Devin Neal are up for Maxwell. That isn't the same group, same two guys from a year ago. Do you think that Lance Leipold turns Jalen Daniels loose as a runner? And I see Devin Neal, or do you think he's reserved at all with him early in the year? Has Leipold given any indication? Are they going to go with him as, you know, as they would normally do? Or are they going to maybe try to hold a little of that back to keep him healthier longer?
Yeah, poked and prodded at Lance about that. And he kind of just said at Big 12 Media Days, like, yeah, I guess you're just going to have to wait and see. Obviously, I don't expect them to really do that against Lindenwood in that week one game. But as the season goes on, as they start to play the Illinois and everything, I think we're going to start to see this offense come to life. Luckily, like you asked in your last question, there's so much around Jalen in this offense, and you have the guys in the backfield with Devin Neal, another player of the year candidate, as well as Daniel Hyshaw, who has been excellent when called upon. And then, I mean, they have wide receiver galore with Quentin Skinner and Lawrence Arnold, Luke Grimm, some guys behind that they really like as well. And then the Plainville guy, Jared Casey at tight end, who just has loads and loads of experience. There's guys built around Jalen to help this offense chug along. And whether we see Jalen pull the ball and run 10 times a game, 8 times a game, we're just going to have to wait and see. But if he's healthy, I don't know why they wouldn't run the ball. If he's not running the ball at all, then I think questions kind of start to come of what are we holding back here?
Yeah, I don't. It's the question of camp, and I'll be looking forward to seeing what else you're able to unearth. One final thing here, Brandon, because all the attention's been on Jalen Daniels. How's the defense look? Is this defense going to be any good?
There's a lot. There's a lot of talent on this defense, especially when you look just at the secondary. I mean, Kobe Bryant is a legitimate. He's going to be playing on Sundays, and I think so at a pretty high level. He could have came out this past year and probably gone significantly high. I would say probably in those top four rounds. I'm not an expert NFL scout by any means, but just from what I see and kind of reading things, I think Kobe Bryant is that type of talent. Melo Dotson is as well. Those were the two all Big 12 preseason guys,
right,
out of Lawrence. And then they have a lot of depth that they like on this defensive line. It's going to be led by Jeremy Robinson. They have some guys to replace, the Austin Bookers, who are now in the NFL, and some other guys. But, I mean, KU has shown all the talk has been on Jalen these last 2 years, but this defense has just gotten significantly better and better each year. And I think that with those two guys leading the way in the back end, and then a guy like O.J. Burrows, and all this depth that they have as secondary and everything around them, KU expects his defense to be one of the best in the Big 12 again this year.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. Maybe not shootouts if they're good in the secondary. All right, Brandon, you're going to unearth some stuff. We'll watch for those reports on 12 News. We'll watch for your reporting as well on X. I know you post a lot of stuff there. So follow Brandon at KWCH Brandon as he is there with KU today. We appreciate it. Have fun out there today. I know you're excited. It's football season. We're all excited. It's football season. And we'll look for your reports later this afternoon.
You can say it again. Thanks, Jacob.
There goes Brandon. Appreciate that. On the fly, joining the program, saw that. I was giving Brandon a hard time yesterday about getting me the answer on Jalen Daniels back. Like, I need, you know, Dr. Brandon to jump in and give me that. And so he texted me that video of him practicing today, which I just reposted if you haven't seen it. So it's like, you got to hop on right now and let us know. I mean, it is the number one question, and it is totally fair, and everything rides on it. I think that's where Cole Ballard steps in, though. Does everything ride on it? Because KU, I think it's reasonable to say they're a better roster top to bottom this year around quarterback, even than they were last year. And so maybe it's less pressure than it was a year ago. I mean, Jalen Daniels has a chance to win a Heisman Trophy. That's how good he is. I just don't know how you count on that for a full season. We've never really seen that from him. And so then it becomes like, okay, I don't think you need to count on what happened last year by any means. I just think it's reasonable to expect Ballard to see, we'll call it, significant time playing this year. So is he ready for that? I think based on what we saw last year, I thought he looked really good. So, you know, would you rather have Jalen Daniels for every snap of every game? Of course you would. He is, again, Heisman good when he's out there. But can Cole Ballard step in a big moment, in a Big 12 game, and help KU to a win? I think he can. But I think that's another thing to watch in camp, is how he has progressed and how he is looking, because they're probably going to need him. They're probably going to need him. And guess what? K-State may need their backup quarterback too, because quarterbacks get hurt, especially quarterbacks that run around like the two that we will be paying the closest attention to this year.
Well, and so, Jacob, like you brought up, a lot of it is also going to depend on how good that defense winds up being too. How much pressure is going to be put on Daniels or Ballard?
Yeah, I totally agree, Jad. And that's a good point. It's why we asked that question. And what really made me think about that is we just haven't thought of KU that way, even though they've been okay defensively. They certainly made progress. They got two all Big 12 players on that defense. And I do think there is a world where this could look a little different than it has. And if their offense doesn't miss a beat and their defense takes a step forward, again, I have said this a million times, and I'll say it again, and I'll say it every day until we get into the college football season. I legitimately think KU, K-State could be playing for a Big 12 championship. They both have a chance to make the CFP. I'm that bullish on both teams. Their quarterbacks have a lot to do with it, but improvements defensively have a lot to do with it too. Being in a wide open league top to bottom has a lot to do with it. This could be a special, special college football season. Best we've ever had with the admintation of a 12-team playoff. Get ready for it. We appreciate Brandon's reporting there. Again, you'll find his work on 12 News, 12 News Connected, where you can watch this show, but he'll be there on the news. I know I'll have him at 6 when I'm doing the sports there at 12 News today. We'll have his reporting all day long. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come back. Hour number 2 of Sports Daily. We'll get back into what we heard from Mitch Holthus on the Chiefs there. We'll get into Bobby Witt Jr. My goodness, Bobby Witt Jr. And what he did last night and continues to do. We'll look ahead to the Royals as they get ready for tonight's game as well. It's all coming for you. Tommy will rejoin us here shortly as well. I'm Jacob Albrock alongside Jad Chambers. Sports Daily, 1 hour in the books. One more to go on this Tuesday. Don't go away.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrock and Tommy Kester.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. Sports Daily here on KFH. Jacob Albrock, Tommy Kester will rejoin us in just a little bit. Jad Chambers, man in the ship, driving that IHOP hotline for you here. And look, it's going to be a fun second hour because we're going to talk a little Chiefs. We're going to talk a little Royals in this hour. We're going to give away a little HTO. Jad, how into the Olympics have you been so far?
Just watched a couple of events, really not very into it. Yesterday, I think pretty much all during the Steve and Ted show yesterday, we were watching that field hockey matchup between the U.S. and Spain that wound up as a tie. That was interesting. Have you ever watched field hockey?
I'll take in anything with the Olympics, nation to nation. So It's been hard trying to stay away from spoilers. My kids are super into the gymnastics and the swimming, so I've been trying to like avoid what is happening as it's happening and then go to it recorded at night. And so we've been watching that. I did catch a little women's volleyball, just traditional volleyball against China last night. The USA lost there in pool play, so it's okay. But I love it. I love the Olympics. I love that you can just sort of turn it on at any point and, yeah, find field hockey. I've enjoyed watching a little women's rugby. The Americans have some ballers out there in that. What else? You know, it's all on the table for me when it comes to the Olympics. I like all of it. Some of the surfing has been kind of cool to see. They're doing that in Tahiti. But my kids being into it has certainly made me more into like appointment viewing with it. Normally, I would just kind of have it on. Track and field is always a blast. I can't wait for track and field. And I can't wait for women's gymnastics tonight. Shout out to the men's gymnastics team. They finally got back on the podium. That was awesome yesterday.
You know, one of my favorite events is, and this is a strange one, and the U.S. didn't qualify in this event at all. They didn't even have, don't even have a team. Court handball.
Oh, handball. I think I put this out on social media. Handball seems like it would be the most fun sport ever.
It is.
It's like some odd combination of things. Handball looks awesome to me and looks like it would be such a blast.
It is a super lot of fun to play. And it's one of those where I wish the U.S. had a team in there that I could root for, because it's fun to play, and it's actually kind of fun to watch. So I don't know. I just I wish we were better at it than apparently we are.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I don't know how our we don't follow that sport, but all those weird sports. That's what I love about the Olympics.
Oh yeah.
I know people have been upset about the opening ceremony, which is, you know, I've got no issue with being upset about that. I just hope it doesn't take away from, you know, the athletes that devote 4 years of their lives for this one competition and this one stage. And oftentimes it's in sports like handball, where there's no like recognition otherwise,
right?
That we can still celebrate those achievements. But the Olympics are there. Again, the big headline yesterday was men's gymnastics got it done. That was good stuff. Women tonight, Simone Biles, you know, on a hobbled leg. It isn't, what she does is just so absurd athletically, and hopefully that leg can hold up for her tonight and they can do some magical things there for the U.S. women at the Olympics here. But I've been in on it.
Yeah.
No, also
something I noticed about the field hockey that we were watching yesterday, and something I don't understand as a fan of regular ice hockey, I got to say this, those sticks are too short.
I don't know.
You have to bend over and crouch down and try to run while you're moving this ball along. And I'm just thinking, that sport would just have to destroy your back.
Yeah, that hurts my back just thinking about
it. Yeah, I can't even imagine.
Yeah, that doesn't sound good. I mean, I wake up every morning and I got to like stretch my back. So yeah. The Jalen Daniels stuff, I just think about a back. Like if you had a bad back, like the few times in my life, my back, it's gone out. Basically, I've thrown it out maybe, I don't know, 3-4 times. Like you can't move. You can't move. And so that's to the Jalen Daniels stuff. And if you missed any of our conversation with Brandon Zinner, who's at that first practice today, that first fall practice, you can go back and listen to that on the Odyssey app. But man, it's like the thought of trying to play football, even with us, like a sore back from waking up in the middle, I got to like spend 10 minutes trying to stretch out every day. It's daunting. And so, good luck to him. I hope he's fully healthy. I really do. It's wild. But the Olympics are out there. We'll continue to keep our eye on it. The women go today, women's gymnastics. So that'll be the big story today, and some of the swimming. I never get tired of the swimming. I never really knew what was happening with swimming until my kids got into swimming. Now I at least know what the strokes are. I can't swim, right? I mean, I can sort of like doggy paddle across the pool.
Yeah, you won't drown. But
yeah, but I don't swim. That's not my thing. I'm the guy who does the cannonball contest out at Crestview for their big parties, but I have to hold my nose when I jump in the water and know everybody's going to make fun of me for holding my nose. That's me in a pool. But, it is what it is. Neither one of my parents can swim. Like, if they got in the water, they would sink. They don't know how to swim. So wow. I feel like I've thrived in that environment. Quite, thank you very much. I can stay afloat, and I can get where I need to go. It might take me a little longer, but I'll get there. got a mean, like, what's the one where you lay on your back and you kind of do like a frog? I can do that with the best of them. But, you know, we're all good. We're all good there. Let's talk Chiefs. So we played this right before we had a spontaneous call there and interview with Brandon, which we really appreciate. We were playing some Chiefs audio from Mitch Holthus, and he's just talking about Patrick Mahomes and his leadership compared to other quarterbacks. You know, Mitch is is the voice of the Chiefs, so he's certainly going to have an affinity for Chiefs players.
Right.
But you know, talking about Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers missing work, I will say this in fairness, Patrick Mahomes is, you know, almost two decades younger than those guys. So that's probably, I don't know that that's a totally fair comparison, but in the moment it is for like what's happening right now. We know nobody works harder at this than Patrick Mahomes. There are probably players that work as hard, but nobody's going to work harder. And he's already the best. So, you know, you walk through this and you see it. But I think from what I am hearing, not just from Mahomes, but mostly from Mahomes, that there is a chip on the shoulder that is not just like some artificial thing. I think it's legitimately there. I think Mahomes, you know, as you look, you know, at the law of averages, that was not a statistically good season. In the regular season, that's as much as we've ever seen Mahomes struggle. And it wasn't all his fault, obviously. There were a lot of really, really bad receivers that contributed to that through drops and the, you know, and adding to the pressure of things. But man, I'm telling you, Jad, like I don't think there is any doubt that his hair in particular is on fire to go back to lighting the league up offensively. And I think he has the horses to do it this year. And I just think it is going to be an explosive year for him offensively versus what we saw a year ago. They are clearly in camp early on. And I know they're not trying to show too much. They are getting Worthy acclimated quickly. We already know Hollywood Brown is there. Like, they're going to take deep shots again. They were the first to adjust to this, you know, two deep safety thing. And now they're almost going to counter it, I think. And I've thought that even before they brought players in, they were the first to have to adjust to the way defenses were defending quarterbacks, which is why I think quarterback play has been suppressed just a little bit. I think now they're going to counter that again, because that's what happens in the NFL, right? You see these trends come out and, you know, all of a sudden the Bucs figure out how to defend the Chiefs in the Super Bowl. Then everyone starts doing it. And then that's kind of a rough year offensively. And then, you know, and then they get back after they let go of Tyreek Hill. And then last year happens with the bad play. I just think it's going to be an explosive year offensively. And I think, like, I don't know what the MVP odds are, but I ain't bet against Mahomes this year. I think his numbers are going to be stupid this year. I don't know which of the receivers is the biggest beneficiary of that, but I think Mahomes is going to be stupid good again this year. Statistically, he's always stupid good.
Well, I think they're all going to benefit from it. I think that's kind of one of those things, is we're going to see a better year from more. We're not just going to have, you know, maybe one or two guys catching all the passes. We're going to see a little bit better. We're going to see a little bit better depth, I think, there. I think the important thing is last year there were those offensive struggles, and what was saving them was defense. And Mitch told us earlier that he thought the defense was better. I don't necessarily see how that's the case.
Yeah,
but
I don't either.
And that, you know, takes some of the pressure off of someone like Mahomes, or, you know, someone like the defense who may be getting in a little quicksand because of the early drops in the game. If the pressure's off because the defense is great, they really could go crazy.
It could go crazy. Like, that's why I said, like, win 14 games crazy. I agree with you. That was and we got to get Mitch back on, and we will, to further explain that and see if he's still seeing that or thinking that in camp, because that is crazy. Jet, Mahomes last year, and this is what I mean. If you go back and you look at, we'll call it qualifying starters, and we'll include Kirk Cousins in this. Maybe we should even include Jake Browning. I suppose we should, because he started 9 games. Cousins started 8. We'll eliminate Mason Rudolph, for example, who only played 4 games. But if you go just, and I know quarterback rating is not the end all be all, but if you just went and looked at quarterback rating, where do you think Mahomes ranked last year among qualifying starters and quarterback rating in the NFL?
I would go middle of the pack, probably.
13.
13. Okay, there you go. A little bit better than middle
for Patrick Mahomes. Now, if you go to ESPN's quarter QBR thing, he's 8. But still, that and that is the kind of thing that was so strange. And again, obviously, Mahomes was dealing with very limited talent at pass catcher. It was basically Kelce and nobody else until Rashee Rice finally started to figure out, in which, you know, Mahomes started to put it together. But if you go back and look historically at Mahomes, by far, you know, the worst of that number over his career now, and he's been a starter for 6 full seasons. Like, the fact that he had almost the fewest touchdowns he's had as a starter and the most interceptions is mind-blowing. Because, Jad, they still won the Super Bowl, right? They still won the Super Bowl. You got the worst numbers you're ever going to get out of Patrick Mahomes, and they still won the Super Bowl. That should terrify the rest of the league. He's going to be much closer to or surpass the year before where he was at 5,000 yards and 40 touchdowns than he was last year. That's going to happen. If he's healthy. And so that's where that defense thing comes in. Like, the league ought to be. Now, I will say, does that mean they're guaranteed to win the Super Bowl? No, it doesn't. It just means they're going to be so much better, I think, in the regular season than they were a year ago. Does that ultimately mean a Super Bowl win? That's a crapshoot. Because if you look at the razor-thin margins at which they've been able to win all 3 of their Super Bowls, and if just like one thing goes the other direction on them, they don't win those. Like, that's where I think the difference of them clearly being like the best team in the regular season versus a shoe-in to win a 3rd straight Super Bowl, there's a reason teams haven't won a 3rd straight Super Bowl. There's a reason that's never happened in the history of the NFL.
Well, yeah, anything can happen in the playoffs.
You know, anything can happen in the playoffs. The Cowboys of the mid-90s had the best team when they lost to the Niners in that third, you know, when they could have had 4 straight. They were the best team that year. The Patriots were probably the best team in some of those years they went for 3 straight, but they didn't get it, right? And so Kansas City, clearly, I mean, they were the best team when they played Tampa in the Super Bowl. That Tampa had a better game plan in that particular game. And think about how close all 3 of the Super Bowl wins have been.
Oh, yeah.
Where it's just like little things going another direction. So I think you've got 2 different things there with the Chiefs. They will be better in the regular season than they were a year ago. I would, like, the chances of them leading the league in wins is high for me. There's a difference in that and saying like them versus the field or whatever for the Super Bowl, because in the playoffs, the craziness ensues. But I still, if you're Mahomes and you're the Chiefs, I think you can start there. And that's why we're hearing a lot of this stuff and the work in the offseason, because I think they're fully aware. And Mahomes said this the first chance he got at camp. Like, yeah, the end result was really good last year, but it was not fun to get there. And I'm sure that he and Kelce feel very fortunate that they were able to. They got it turned on, and they leaned on the defense. I know what Mitch Holthe said about the defense. I think it's unlikely they're as good as they were a year ago. But just because of, you know, everything going right, they lost, to me, one of the top corners in the league. Chris Jones is a year older. He's already getting nicked up and banged up a little bit. But they could still be really good. But, man, if you're that offense right now, Mahomes' eyes seem so big with it, with Worthy there now and Hollywood Brown. We've sort of thought Rashee Rice was going to be suspended for much of the season. I don't know that that's going to happen, if at all, this year. And then they've got these other guys that they're working back in. I think Kelce's going to have a really nice year. They won't lean on him as much, but he won't have nearly as much double coverage and those things to work through. It'll be a special year for the offense. Does that guarantee a 3rd Super Bowl? No, nothing does. But I do think it means they're going to have a much better regular season than they did a year ago.
Well,
to
expand on what you said earlier, you were talking about it's not like it's the Chiefs versus, you know, the field. When you're talking about it, yes, that's true, but there's no other team you would put in that
comparison.
Absolutely
not. No.
If you had to put one in the comparison, it has to be the Chiefs.
Absolutely. I agree. It is it's two different things. If I'm picking a team to lead the league in wins, I think it's overwhelmingly Chiefs. But that is very different from versus the field to win a Super Bowl. Versus the field, we'll put it this way, versus the field in regular season wins than versus the field in, winning a Super Bowl are two very, very different things. But I think that there is such a good chance they're the best regular season team. And I don't want to say it won't be close, because I'm sure Joe Burrow healthy would like to have something to say about that. I think the Ravens probably got a little better, and I think there's a good chance the Eagles bounce back. But man, when you're looking at this stuff, and you just like when we remember, and we welcome back in Tommy. Tommy, when we remember, we like in the Mahomes audio brought this up. Think about last year, just Mahomes. When he says it's not fun and all these things, Mahomes by quarterback rating, Tommy. And I know you just walked back in, so I'm going to ask you this, the same question I asked Chad. Where do you think he finished last year in quarterback rating for guys that started at least 8 or 9 games?
I think it's pretty high because of the number of low-risk passes that he made.
No.
Really?
No, he was 13th in the league last year. 13th in the league. Behind the likes of Jake Browning, who started 9 games, and Derek Carr. And Baker Mayfield and Justin Herbert, who had a really bad year by his own standard. Mahomes had the fewest touchdowns, almost the fewest touchdowns, and the most interceptions that he's ever had. Now, again, that's not on Mahomes. We know all that. But how much better is he going to be than that this year? Because I think he'll be, I would bet him to win the MVP. I would not bet anybody else to win the, I wouldn't even waste my money. To know that he and that offense are going to be that much better. Because I think they will be. I think he'll challenge the numbers he put up 2 years ago, if not surpass them. When we look at the regular season, like get out of the way, rest of the league. Because I think they're going to light it up offensively.
Yeah, I mean, I think that really with the weapons that they have been able to surround Mahomes with this year, I mean, that's going to be the major offensive storyline this season. And I think that one benefit to this is that everybody has fresh in their minds the offensive struggles in the passing game last season. So the bar is really low. The bar is like
so low.
The bar, it's crazy how shockingly low the bar is for the passing game when you have the greatest quarterback in the league, the best quarterback in the league, but the bar is shockingly low with the passing game. And it's not Mahomes' fault. It's just who he had to throw the ball to a year ago and just consistent issue week after week after week after week. Now you've got a collection of wide receivers, presumably that are, you know, going to start around him. Rashee Rice came on at the end of last year. Hollywood Brown is in place. They drafted Xavier Worthy, obviously Travis Kelce. Do I think that this wide receiver room all of a sudden is the best wide receiver room in the NFL? No, I don't. But because that bar was set so low, I think it is going into this season, I think the difference between last year and this year will be striking. And I think it will seem like this wide receiver room is probably better than they actually are. That's okay. That's not a knock on them. But, you know, to your point as far as, and I know you've said it multiple times, that you think Mahomes is going to feast this year. I don't think you're wrong. But I think it's a combination of the bar being set so low, you've got Patrick Mahomes, and you just, I think, yeah, it's a clear upgrade, but it's not this like all of a sudden they're now the best wide receiver room in the NFL.
No, it's more about it's so much better with Mahomes to me. And that's even like, even if things don't go particularly well on the offensive line, I don't know that I'm worried that will suppress the overall offensive numbers. I think it just enhances the injury risk for Mahomes, which is the concern for me on the offensive line. It's not, I don't think there's anything outside of injury that's going to hold this offense back this year. I think there is almost no chance that Kadarius Toney and Sky Moore are as bad as they were a year ago. They may not be that much better, but they won't be as bad. That's hard to imagine because they were so bad last year. If Rashee Rice does not get suspended this year, which is starting to look like a real possibility, I just don't know how a defense will be able to stop what's coming. even if Mahomes doesn't get the get a lot of time, he's going to scramble. We know what he does. But to think about the likelihood that they can use Rice and Kelce essentially over the middle and run Hollywood Brown and Xavier Worthy over the top, that's four guys that are going to do a variety of things. You still have to account for Isaiah Pacheco and potentially for another player out of the backfield. It's just like it's too much. It's too much for Mahomes, who has developed the ability to be a short game passer if he needs to be. Like, we've seen that now for 2 years.
I mean, don't you think that defenses, in my opinion, are going to do a couple of different things. First off, I think they're going to absolutely do their best to keep everything in front of them. You know, defenders, like in the secondary, you got to keep everything in front of you. You can't let anybody beat you deep, and you can't let Kelce or Rice get behind you, because if they do that, then they're gone. So, you know, I think in a lot of cases, and this reminds me an awful lot of the way that Bob Sutton used to coach the Chiefs defense, it's okay to give up, you know, small little chunk plays, 4 or 5 yards, whatever. Yeah. Just keep everything in front of you. I think that's got to be part of the way that defenses attack the Chiefs offense coming into this season. Just the mere threat of having Hollywood Brown, you know, down the sideline or, you know, cutting across the middle of the field deep, I think will force that to have to happen. And number two, you know, I know that you are a big believer that Travis Kelce is going to have a resurgence this season, at least in his stat line, which took a little bit of a dip last season. And I don't disagree with that, but I'm even looking elsewhere. I think that Isaiah Pacheco will have, assuming he can stay healthy,
I do too,
will have a pretty large role in this offense. Because if defenses are going to sell out to the pass, and I think you kind of have to, otherwise Mahomes will carve you up, especially with those receivers that he's got, then I think that allows an opportunity for whether it's Isaiah Pacheco, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, whoever else, to, you know, really have a lot of success on the ground. Primarily Pacheco. I think Pacheco will be the main beneficiary of that.
I do too. I think so. With and this is, it's a good point, because yeah, I do think that is ultimately what defenses will have to do, which enhances the pressure on the red zone offense. So the red zone offense is where, you know, we look at the difference in yardage and touchdowns, right? And Butker was such a big part of what they did last year. But I think one of the big areas, and why I think, like, when I say Kelce is more, it's in touchdowns. Because I think Kelce and Pacheco now will be allowed to be much bigger red zone threats even than they were a year ago. Because you at least have last year when the Chiefs got into the red zone, you know, there were basically two options: try to find Kelce or try to ram it down the other team's throat with Pacheco. I still think the Chiefs want to do that, but they have other ways to do it too, which they did not have last year. Like, you get into the red zone, you didn't want anybody else touching the ball last year or even trying, right? Like, and Rice became that. So, you know, Rice sort of is what unlocked everything. But these other guys are red zone threats too. And I think that's what I think really opens up. Look, I think Kelce could have fewer receptions, certainly fewer snaps, but better numbers in general, because he's going to be allowed to score more touchdowns again. Kelsey's the touchdown master. What did he have last year? Like six?
Yeah, he didn't have many.
So that comes back. And that's where Pacheco is going to be. And the other thing with Pacheco, why he might be so good, is because they may be in a position to just run the clock out a lot this year. And so, you know, that's an interesting part of his game too. Like, it could be very much he doesn't get a lot of carries through the first three quarters and then gets 10 touches in the fourth quarter because they're just trying to do that. I know this sounds like all roses for the Chiefs. I think as long as 15's healthy, I think it is all roses in the regular season. Playoffs, all bets are off. We know that now. Like, we know that now. But in the regular season, what happened last year, the chances of that repeating are so, so small. And a part of that is because of the attitude they've taken in this offseason to make sure it doesn't happen, but also the work of the front office. It became very clear what they were attacking this offseason and what they wanted to change. And it's the thing we've been talking about. They don't want that offense again out there this regular season. And they just happen to be going for a third straight Super Bowl, which is, of course, all the motivation anybody needs. So there's that. We'll continue to get some Holthus audio, some check-ins from Chiefs camp there this week. So looking forward to that. When we come back, Mahomes is great. Bobby Witt Jr. is pretty great, too. What a night for Bobby Witt Jr. I mean, it's laughable. If you watched the last two or three innings of that game last night, baseball players sell.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Seldom have that much singular impact on the outcome of a game. It was unreal. We'll get into that. We'll look ahead to tonight's game for the Royals as well. Try and keep you apprised of anything happening at the trade deadline. It's been a quiet morning on the final day of making trades in Major League Baseball. Well, sort of. We'll get to it all as we return. Sports Daily coming your way right after this. All right, welcome back, everybody. It is Sports Daily. It is KFB. We're glad you're with us listening. All this football coverage we've had for the last few minutes on KFH presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and you can get tons of benefits. Still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. We'll set up our giveaway today, our text giveaway for some HTO iced tea, more than 20 flavors. You can win that by entering the by texting the keyword TEA to short code 20357. Once per day, message and data rates apply. You'll also get a free ring coffee on us here. So a free iced tea, a free coffee at any of the Wichita Metro locations. Two in Wichita, one in Derby. Good luck, everybody, on that contest. T to 20357. We have made our way through. Tommy, you missed this. We have Brandon Zinner hop on the fly there because he sent me a video right as you stepped out of Jalen Daniels at camp. And Jalen Daniels, to me, looks good. He looks good. He looks like he's gained muscle, which tells me his back probably feels okay. We did get into, you know, some of the things that if he misses time, Ballard looks, you know, paying attention to Ballard and that defense. So you can go back and listen to any of that conversation and watch for Brandon's reports on 12 News a little later today. Of course, you can see us. A lot of you are on 12 News Connected right now. Let's talk about Bobby Witt Jr. last night. I don't think anything significant has happened at the trade deadline since we've been on the air. So we continue to watch that. That deadline's, I believe, 5 o'clock Central today. That was almost a disaster last night. Royals bullpen, is not good in the game. They're down going into the eighth. And then Bobby Witt Jr. gets a chance with the bases loaded. What does he do? Of course, what does he do? Hits a grand slam on a pretty good pitch, by the way. First pitch he sees in the at-bat. And then what does he do in the ninth with MacArthur? Quatrero, and I don't think Quatrero really had much of a choice on this. He throws MacArthur out back out there in the ninth, and Bobby Witt Jr. makes two spectacular plays essentially to end the game. I mean, you'd be hard pressed to find a better day at the office than that in impacting the outcome of a game when you're not a starting pitcher. That was pretty incredible from Bobby Witt Jr. yesterday, and I'll say too, not surprising at all.
No, I mean, that's what Bobby Witt Jr. does, and that's what he has consistently done, and it's both at the plate and it's on the field. He does both things exceptionally well, and, you know, it usually happens where maybe one or the other is on display. For the Royals, both were on display in back-to-back innings, and so, you know, him being able to do that in a basically, I would say, a crucial spot. Because the Royals had been kind of scuttling a little bit. The White Sox are a terrible team. You can't drop one to the worst team in Major League Baseball, you know, especially a team that's lost 14 in a row while you are, you know, continuing to try to push for playoff position. All those things combined, and it was absolutely clutch. The grand slam, you can't get any more clutch than that for a go-ahead grand slam in the eighth inning on the first pitch you see. And then to be able to seal the deal with a couple of tremendous defensive plays, it's nobody else but Bobby Witt Jr. And that's, I think, the thing that's so impressive is that we've seen players that have been, at the top of the sport for a long time, and they're usually known for one major thing, right? Like, you know about the sluggers that are mashing home runs left and right. And, you know about the great Cy Young pitchers and, the defensive Gold Glove winners year after year after year. Bobby Witt Jr. has the offense and the defense. I mean, yeah, you know,
all of it.
And of course, people are going to, like, of course, Shohei is a unicorn. So, you know, he's got both pitching and hitting, which nobody else can do in Major League Baseball. That's a completely separate category entirely. But for, you know, the players that are out there right now that are position players, you know, I don't know if there's a more complete all-around player, I don't think that there is, that's better in Major League Baseball than Bobby Witt Jr., bar none.
Well, I I'm not going to say he's better hitter than Shohei Ohtani.
I'm saying an all-around player. There's not a better all-around player, position player, exclusive position player in Major League Baseball right now than Bobby Witt Jr.
Yeah, look, I've told you there's not a player I would take ahead of him when I consider, like, you know, future and everything else. I've been on that basically this entire season. It's hard because Shohei's not pitching right. And when Shohei's pitching, if you think of that as all around because he does those two things, then nobody's ever going to be ahead of him while he's on this pace. But yeah, look, Juan Soto's only 25, so careful. Like, Soto's only 25, and he's also in the MVP conversation. Acuna's hurt. I'd still take Bobby Witt Jr. over both of those guys. Mostly because he plays shortstop at a very high level. But yes, the thing about Bobby Witt Jr. for me, you never know about, like, the clutch gene.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or track pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Which he certainly has. You never know about... But well, let me rephrase that. I didn't know he had this kind of batting average in him. At this batting average, which he's on a tear, yeah, it's not going to be particularly close if he continues to do that. Now, that's the big thing long-term to see, because his power is still developing. Like, he's still developing as a power. We have not seen the peak of his power. We've seen the peak of his speed. We've probably seen the peak of his defense. I didn't think his batting average would get this high. That's something to watch. And his power, how high does his power get? Has he become a 40 home run guy? I mean, I think he could. So, like, there's still so much oozing upside there, and the clutch gene and the face of the franchise and the future of baseball. All those things go into it. So, yeah, I wouldn't either. But it's what he's doing at such a young age, putting the team on his back so often this year, that has been remarkable to watch. And you know, as much as the front office deserves all the credit in the world for the offseason that they had and bringing in these free agents and doing these things, getting him signed long term is far more impactful, I think, than any of those things overall. And it does amplify the pressure on that front office to go for it this year. People always, the counter to it, and we have great listeners and commenters that say this all the time, you don't want to sacrifice the future to do, but I think the future is Bobby Witt Jr. Like, the future stops and it begins and ends with him. So, you know, regardless of the contract, yeah, they got him locked up long term, but he's a more than one contract baseball player. So can they do that again? Or do you look at this more realistically and say the window is Bobby Witt Jr.'s contract? Because he is going to very likely be, if not the best player in baseball, the second or third best player in baseball. And it'll be an argument every year, but at worst, he's in the conversation for it. That's why you don't wait. Like, who cares about, you know, 2030 right now? You're not like, no, nobody cares about that. The fans certainly don't. Like, we worry about that for a lot of teams, and I think it's justified and fair. But a lot of teams don't have Bobby Witt Jr. out there. You know, teams that have played that role don't have that kind of player on the roster. The Rays never have. The Guardians, if you want to make a case for Jose Ramirez, okay, he's been in the conversation, but I'm not sure we've ever looked at Jose Ramirez and been like, that's the best player in baseball. And he's on like a Hall of Fame pace, but I don't think we've ever said that. We're saying that with Bobby Witt Jr. You can't afford to let that contract play out. Angels have made this mistake. And it's not because they, you know, they didn't try. They tried. They just failed. But you got to try if you're the Royals. And right now is the window.
Yeah. And look, like, I think that you can easily look at some of the data and some of the analytics, and it backs that up 100%. The best metric to look at in this conversation is wins above replacement. That's the bottom line. Like, that is the, bar none, the best metric to look at as we're trying to assess where Bobby Witt Jr. ranks amongst his peers in Major League Baseball right now. There's not a player in Major League Baseball this season right now that has a total combined wins above replacement over Bobby Witt Jr. Now, it might
Aaron
be.
Judge does.
No, he doesn't. It might be different if Shohei Ohtani was pitching this year, but he's not. So, and I'm talking about all wins above replacement combined, both batting and defensive wins above replacement. You add that into the mix, and Bobby Witt Jr. is above Aaron Judge in wins above replacement. If you combine batting war and defensive war, batting war, he is number two behind Aaron Judge. It goes Aaron Judge, Bobby Witt Jr., Juan Soto, Shohei Ohtani, Gunnar Henderson. But then you take a look at the defensive war, and Bobby Witt Jr. is 14th in Major League Baseball. None of the players ahead of him are anywhere near where he's at in the batting war. So you add in his 1.2, that's his defensive war. You add that to his 7.2 on the batting war, and all of a sudden he's at 8.4.
He's at 6.2 offensively, I believe.
No, he's at 7.2 offensively. At the graph I'm looking at right now, as of today, he is at 7.2, right behind Aaron Judge in batting war, and then 1.2 in defensive war. Combining those two together, there's not another player in Major League Baseball that has a higher war than he does.
Well, this is weird, because I'm seeing three different wars at three different places. Whatever. And maybe they're not all updated. I don't know. His ESPN has him at 6.2, and I don't think he gained a game in one day. Maybe they use different metrics. Doesn't matter. It's irrelevant, because his defense factors in, and I think it does, with Aaron Judge. He plays shortstop, right? He plays shortstop.
He directly impacts the game at a defensive level far greater than anybody else that competes with him as far as his offensive ability.
Jaron Duran would be the other guy in that conversation, but he's far enough behind him offensively that it's not, you know, that it's not there. So all of that being said, do you take anybody, like, when you consider everything, do you take anybody over him? I don't think you do. You know, Gunnar Henderson's going to remain in that conversation too. Shohei Ohtani will pass everybody once he pitches again. But there, you know, you're looking right now at an MVP race. It's still a four-horse race between Judge, Witt, Soto, and Henderson in the American League. And it's probably going to remain a four-horse race down the stretch. If Witt continues the tear he's been on post-All-Star break, he will pass everybody. That's unlikely. And you know, the Yankees are sort of competing against themselves. But you know what helps him get an MVP? If the Royals are still really good down the stretch, right? If he's still getting the opportunity to be a hero. So pressure's on. You got until 5 o'clock today, Royals front office. You're going to have to do something here. That's unfair. They've already done something. Is it enough? We'll continue to talk the trade deadline as we wrap it up. Hey, we want to say thank you to Prairie Fire Coffee for always fueling us up here at KFH. Always enjoy a great cup of coffee. I know Tommy and Jad have theirs front and center today. We'll come back. We'll continue to talk a little Major League Baseball. It's kind of nice, isn't it, Royals fans? Don't go away.
KFH.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. It is Sports Daily. It is KFH. We appreciate you listening here and on the Odyssey app and watching on 12 News Connected and all the other great places that you can watch. Comments, always welcome. Rick says, we were talking about the Chiefs earlier, that Sky Moore is not going to make the roster. He's dropping passes in camp already. It is something to watch. They can't keep all the receivers they have now. Will they really cut bait with the guy they drafted so high? Well, we'll see. It's probably not too late now or too early now. What a disappointment that would be. What a miss that would be by them, to spend that kind of draft capital. But, we will get to that point at some point in camp when they make cuts. They have too many receivers. How many are they going to take in? I think they took 7, to start the year last year. And we know Mecole Hardman's there probably to be a return man and all these other things. So we'll see if Sky Moore's one of them. I'm not as concerned about that, cause I think the top 4 or 5 are going to be just fine. Tom, the MLB trade deadline. I don't think there's been anything massive this morning. I don't think there's even been a lot of small stuff this morning. There was small stuff overnight. Most of it doesn't impact the Royals, probably, in guys they have at least been rumored to be in on. I think the most likely outcome today is they go big on a big reliever. I think there are two we've identified that could be out there in Fairbanks and Scott. I think that's the most likely. I don't know that there's a big bat out there that would still, I mean, the A's haven't really traded anybody yet, which is interesting. It doesn't make a lot of sense. So are they going to ultimately move some players? We'll see. Most of their guys are younger though. I don't think the Royals are done. I would say yes, they will do something today. What is it? I mean, I'd like to see him make two moves. You know, I'd like to see him at minimum bring in a platoon outfielder and then to go get that big ticket reliever. I think that's elevated itself to top priority for me because I think everything they were trying to trade for other players is on the table. And if it is, why not just go use that to get a back end bullpen guy that can help you? If they can get Fairbanks, Tommy, that helps them for a couple of years. He's more expensive. Scott can help him this year, and I'd be okay with that if that's the way they got to go, whatever. But it, you know, a lot of options out there and still plenty of time. It is the trade deadline. Remember, this usually plays itself out where you get to the deadline and then there's this frenzy of moves that have happened that you try to get caught up on. And then it's not the only way players get traded anymore. There are other ways players get traded after the deadline, probably more so than ever before, but they got to clear waivers at that point and go through all the complicated things. So you don't want to get to that point if you don't have to, if you're the Royals. But here we go. We're in crunch time right now.
I've got a theory that, you know, part of the reason why the Royals didn't acquire Tommy Pham and they didn't acquire Lane Thomas yesterday can maybe be related back to why they didn't get Randy Arozarena and why they didn't get Jazz Chisholm Jr. I think partly, and they were linked to both Arozarena and Chisholm Jr. by multiple reports, they were in on both of those players. They just got outbid. My reasoning, my theory behind this is that they're wanting somebody big. They're wanting somebody high profile. I predicted a week ago that the Royals would be very aggressive with high profile players at the trade deadline. That really has yet to materialize with a few hours remaining until the deadline. But if they didn't get Arozarena and they didn't get Thomas, maybe they weren't in on Pham or Chisholm. That's who I meant.
Yeah.
Maybe they weren't in on Pham and Thomas because they're working on something bigger with a bigger name leading up to the deadline.
I don't know. We got time here. It's going to be fun to follow. We'll, of course, have it tomorrow. Thank you to Crestview Country Club for bringing us that portion of the program. Get out there. Check out Crestview's facilities. Tell them we sent you. Telling you lots of good things out there. We're going to come back. We'll tell you what's on the network today, including the Royals tonight. Don't go away.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2 times points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.